Turn to Philippians chapter 1 again. Didn't get finished last week. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. Appreciate you being here tonight. And, one of those messages, I wish there was a few more to hear. Can I have just a little bit more on me? Wish there were a few more that would be willing. Oh, that's probably more than enough now. I'm sorry. All right. Okay. Good passage here. This is our passage from our theme for this year. And I tell you what, let's pray first. And then we'll kind of roll through the first few portions of this that we had last week. And then we'll kind of move on to the next part. Once you hear this, this is. I hope you won't just say, have gone through, sit through another message, and go home, and nothing changes. I hope you'll see some things here. And it may not be that we got a lot of good folks in here. And I've said that over and over again. We really do. There's something special about this place. And yet, we're good, and we're nice, and we're friendly, and all those kind of things. But I do think there's maybe a little bit more we could be doing to make a real difference in our community here. And I want us just to see some things. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, you said that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished into all good works. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll give us your wisdom, your understanding, give us your thoughts here this evening. It wouldn't be a blessing. And just like we talked about this morning, we can see God do extraordinary things in our lives, in our personal lives. But God can also use us to do extraordinary things in our lives for the life of others. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see your vision, if you will, a little better. Make a difference in this community. Thank you for the folks who work hard. A lot of folks are tired by the time they get done Sunday morning. They've been out early. They've worked with the children, worked with the teens, and all those kind of things. And they're out late after lunch and some all day. And Lord, I know it gets wearisome sometimes. But many hands would make light work. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll give us your vision, what you'd have us to do. Lord, just put it all in your hands. Lord, I ask you to move. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Again, our theme this year is striving together. This is a part of the body working together. It's all of us in one mind. In order to strive together, we must be of one mind. In order to be of one mind, we must be of one spirit. Now, again, I'm going to talk about the one spirit, and maybe I'm not sure whether I'm going to talk about it in the evening service or the morning service, because to be honest with you, when I talk about that with you all, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. Because you're here. And, we're in a society where it's like, well, I did my duty. I did Sunday morning. That's all I need. I remember there was a radio station, a local radio station down in Maryland years ago. And they talked about doing the, it was a secular station, but it gave the local news. It was a local station there. And it talked about how you can go to the novena or something, the Catholic thing, and it says you can enjoy the celebration and fulfill your Sunday obligation at the same time. And they actually said that. You can fulfill your Sunday obligation. I hate to think that Sunday morning was just an obligation. I mean, the Word of God is going to be preached. I want something done. I want to see God do something in my life. And so, I don't know, we may do some things, because I'm afraid a lot of folks on Sunday morning just feel like, well, I've done my Sunday obligation, that's all I really need to do. And I think there are some who are like that. Don't realize that God has a whole plan for us. And we're not really going to enjoy this Christian life until we decide we're just going to go ahead and be part of it. Think about Ken and Shirley Ravenstein back here. They've served for years and years, you've been here now for almost 15 years, 14 years, and he had retired, and it was, you know, he was, And he said, he told him, well, we're just going to go there. Now, we're not going to get in a bunch of stuff and work. Let's go in, just kind of relax and enjoy our retirement years. And he's been head of the maintenance of the building for a long time. Before he was a member, he was helping me put the cabinets in back here in the nursery. And he's been a deacon now for quite a while, quite a few years now, too. As long as their health and so forth was good, they sings in the choir and those kind of things. And you know what? We need to serve. God's got a plan. We may not all do the same thing, but God's got something we want to do. Let me show you first part of verse 27. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation, the way you live your life, the context in the context of others, the way you interact with others, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. It makes the truth of the faith of the gospel look good. It puts it in a favorable light. We talked about this last week. But we need to strive together for the cause of Christ and the faith of the gospel. And he says that whether I come and see you, else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He said, we need to be together, striving together to wrestle in joint effort, to contend jointly. We need to be part of the same team. Our conversation, our way of life amongst ourselves and amongst the community. I guess it was Friday night. We were coming home. We left the funeral about, we didn't get out at like 5:30 or something like that. We had 400 miles in front of us, and so we stopped, got just outside of town there, and stopped at a Wendy's to get something to eat. We're going to hit the road, just go. And of course, we looked a lot like this. We just come from the funeral, and there was this fellow sitting in there, and we had our meal, and he was sitting there with his little kid, and they were having their meal, and we talked, we chatted, and we were chatting and so forth. And I think Janet went to use the restroom before we got out of the door, and he says, were you over at Brother Bobby's funeral? I said, well, yeah, we were. He said, I thought so. Everybody in town knows him, even if they don't like him. Even if they don't like what he stands for and what he preaches, they like him. I mean, that's really the way it ought to be. Our life should be becoming of the gospel. If we expect to make a significant impact on the world around us for the faith of the gospel, as we're called to do, we're going to have to make a joint effort. We've got to be unified. Listen, when folks say, for instance, you know, we're here to build, I've said this myself too, but I had to go through a change of mind on this. You know, we say we prefer a small church, and I guess it's good, but the fact is, church is not about us. It's the body of Christ to take the gospel to the world around us. Now, we have to have things right in our church, but if we're doing our job and the fact is there's still people around us that aren't saved, then the church is going to grow. At least it should. We need to have one mind, and having one mind is a way of life that becomes the gospel. This is not just saying, well, we get along. It's not just pushing down our feelings. It's not just saying, well, we're going to put up with each other. No, it's about having one mind. I'll be honest with you. I'm a very selfish person. I like things done my way. Now, I've had to learn that sometimes you don't get it exactly the way you want it. But be honest with you, I know some people like debate amongst their family members and so forth. But the fact is, I married a woman who almost sees eye to eye to me almost everything. You say, well, she just has to because you're so hard-headed. No, I think she's being honest. In fact, we used to say, why doesn't everybody think like us? You know how it is. We think alike. I need that. But can two walk together unless they be agreed? Amos 3:3 says. We need to have a unified church. We need to be the same on doctrine. Listen, a disunified church is a discredit to the Lord. It's a discredit. It sheds a bad light. And a lot of times we talked about this last week, but the fact is, the reason we don't see eye to eye is because we're getting our truth from different sources. Or we're letting somebody else tell us what the Bible says and letting the Bible interpret itself. Last week we mentioned that Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." If we knew the Scriptures, we wouldn't be fighting over these things. The other issue that causes a problem is pride. Only by pride cometh contention. I want my way, you want your way, and the two are just going to fight and fume all the way through. And we really, listen, we'll be striving, working, contending, wrestling, but we're wrestling each other, not wrestling for the work of the Lord. It's that old tug of war. We're all dead tired when we're done, but we've just been pulling on each other. Sometimes a little further this way, sometimes a little further this way, but we're not getting the job done. Second thing that I want you to see is to strive together, we must be going in the same direction. Again, a little reminder from where we were. We got to have the same mind, the same goal, the same purpose, the same approach. We're not going to see everything exactly the same, but we need to be going in the same direction. Again, how do you know what the same direction is? This is the direction. That's where he said amen, right there. This is the direction. All right? Listen, the whole Scripture is given by inspiration and it's profitable for doctrine. That's what's true. That's what's right. That's where we stand. And we got to stay. So, well, your opinion is good. I'm not talking about my opinion. There's been a few times in my life I had to change my opinion because my opinion didn't go along with the Word of God. We got to decide the Word of God is what we need here. We have same mind, same goal, same purpose, same approach, because we would if we had the same Spirit. We're having the same one guiding our thoughts. People with the same mind have the same thought process. They're going to have the same approach to things. They're the same purpose, the same priorities. Number three, if we're not the same mind, we must be of different minds. And that's not good. If we're not of the same mind, that must mean we are of different minds. And last week I talked about that different minds causes division. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that ye are all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." 1 Corinthians 1:10-13 there. Now listen, that's pretty clear. So, well, I think we ought to have a variety of opinions so we know what, you know, so we kind of can hash it all out. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. Now, I'll be honest with you. I mean, we're not perfect. There's been times when I've said, well, why don't we do so and so? And one of the guys said, one of the deacons said, well, you know what, maybe we should do this. And the fact is, they had a good idea. Now, listen. We may have different ways of trying to get there, but we should have the same goal. And the fact is, as it comes down and we finally decide what we're going to do, I think it should come down to we're going to have one mind on how we're going to do it. I don't always get my way. They don't always get their way. What we want is the Lord's way. Divisions often come from politics and personalities, and we talked about all that last week. Now, I want to give you some new things here. And I'm going to start with number four because that's where the message was, all the same message. But I want you to see something here. Number four. Now, remember, we said we have to have the same mind. If we don't have the same mind, we have different minds, right? Okay, now listen. Number four. The mind we need is the mind of Christ. The mind we need is the mind of Christ. Sometimes we spend so much time trying to figure out what I want, what this is, which way the world's going, which way the wind's blowing. Well, that's what we're going to do. I tell you what, there's so many things that come by, and everybody has to have this and this and that, and it's the latest fad, and somehow we think we're all going to, you know, for a little while, there's like we were all going to die. We all didn't have one of those fidget spinners. You know those fidget spinners? They're gone. There might be a few of them laying around underneath the sofa, you know, in the back window of the car. It was like that was all the rage. I remember when I was young, I had some bell bottoms, and the bottoms, you know, they were like this big. And the way you did that, of course, you remember you wanted to go down so your pants would just cover your shoe. You hardly even knew your shoe was there, just kind of come out over top of the whole thing and just barely clear the floor. You know, I mean, there was all kinds of things. We just thought that's the way it has to be. All those things change. The Word of God changes not. God changes not. And we have to have the mind of Christ. And if it was right 2,000 years ago, it's still right. Now, okay, it doesn't mean because they wore robes 2,000 years ago, we have to wear robes. But they were modest. And modesty is still an issue. If I remember right, women still look like women and men still look like men. And men look at women different than women look at men. All those kind of things. We need to see, not where the wind's blowing, not where society has said. You know, the things that used to shock us don't shock us anymore. We need to have the mind of Christ. I suggested earlier that having the same mind, last week, is like being the same person. Where you can, they know what you're saying just because of the way you twinkle your eye. You just know where we're headed before we hardly get there. Why? Because we already think that direction. And you know what? We ought to be the same way. Listen, Jesus, the Lord says it in the Proverbs. He says, don't be as the mule that has to be led around or the horse with a bit and bridle. Where he has to, you know, pull us around and get us where we want. He says, I want to guide you with mine eye. I want you to know me so well that when the Lord in so many words says, we know what he means. When the word just speaks to our heart, we just know exactly what he means. Because we've spent so much time with him. We think like him. We have to have the mind of Christ. If we don't have the same mind, then we have different minds. And so the question is, whose mind do you have? A lot of people go around and say, I have a half a mind. And I usually say, well, that's usually probably true. I have a half a mind. Listen, Galatians 2:20. If you would turn to it with me real quick, I want you to look at something. Got just a couple passages I want you to look at, just a few pages away. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So just go back to the left just a little bit. Galatians 2:20, a very familiar passage. I want you to look at it. I want you to think this through with me. Now listen, you don't lose your personality. You don't lose your sense of humor. You don't lose who you are. You don't lose your individuality. But somehow God works in all of us. Listen, index finger, there we go, is different than my pinky. But it's all attached to the same head. My big toe has a different personality, if you will, than my thumb. It does things differently. It doesn't care about what the thumb is doing. It's going to do what it's supposed to do. And yet my thumb is probably not a whole lot of good if it's not attached to the hand, which is attached to the arm, which is attached to the shoulder, so which is all lined up and wired to be attached to the brain so it does what it's supposed to do. We're all different. We look different. We have different jobs. We have different perspectives on things. But the fact is we're still going to have the same mind of Christ if we're all in tune with him. Look what it says in Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but watch, look, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If we want to be in tune, I have to be willing to relinquish me and let him have control. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's really not me living. It's Christ living through me and in me. Now, we're perfect about that. I wish we could be, but we're not. But we reckon ourselves dead physically, dead to the flesh, so we may be used of him. We should be, watch, temples of the Holy Spirit, having Christ living his life through us. When we are all crucified with Christ, we all have Christ living through us, and thus we all have the mind of Christ living through us. You follow what I'm saying? Go back to Philippians chapter 2. Go back to where we were, but go to chapter 2, verse number 1. Now remember, he just said in verse 27, oh, and let your conversation be as becometh the gospel. And it talks about striving together, So it's all in the context here. Look at chapter 2, just a few verses down from there. Chapter 2, verse 1. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship, that means partnership, mutual progress, if there any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, in other words, if we're going to be able to get along and care for one another, fulfill ye my joy, in other words, make my day, that ye be like-minded. Let me say it again now. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Watch. That word like-minded means thinking in the same direction. Watch. Having the same love. Did you catch those words in the song there? 4:12. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints of God have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine and one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers. Can you imagine how you ever going to win a battle if all the soldiers do as they please? Do everybody like the commands that's going on right at the moment? Probably not. But there's one head who's running things. By the way, it's not me. I got to get commands from command control just like everybody else. He says, having the same love, there's that charity, the same kind of love, love from the same source. And love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. How many times have you heard me say that? It comes when we are truly born of God and knoweth God. You'll have the same love. It says, watch, look on the verse here, being of one accord, united by the same mentality, united with the same sentiment about things. And being of one accord, and then it means the same things get you excited. The same things motivate you. Being of the same spirit, and then it says, of one mind. The same disposition. The same opinion. In fact, watch. If the goal was our, we have the same opinion, the same goal, the same purpose, same priority. And we are crucified with Christ. That as we get together and we plan our strategy to strive together how we're going to do that, self disappears because there is no self. We're crucified with Christ. And self says, I want to hear what God wants us to do. And you may not believe this, but I tell you the truth, there can come a point in your life where somehow you read the book and you know where God's going, and he can guide 2 people, 3 people, 150 people, and get them going the right direction. And our little personal pet peeves go out the window because we know that the purpose, the goal is what's important. It's not about me. This is not about this finger. It's about what the body and the whole is going to accomplish. We got to listen to what the head is going to do. Now, I'm not trying to be funny. But the fact is, it's amazing. God put everything together. And I love the way he puts it together in ways that we can understand. If somebody was standing there talking to you, and you know, the problem is you got some muscles over here, they're doing their own thing. Something's kind of a short circuit there. What's the matter with it? Well, I'm fine. Just this one arm doesn't want to do what we want to do. You know, now I know I feel bad for folks who actually have that problem because there's a disconnect from the head to this part of the body. And when it's not doing its job, it actually hinders us from being able to do what we really were trying to do. And the body of Christ is like that. We all, members in and of ourselves, members in particular, have to be in tune with the head, getting good, clear signals from him so that we're all working together. We are not seeing who can rise to the top, but giving that discretion to the one that judges righteously. So we get to say, well, I'm going to make sure I get that job, or I get that job. No, we don't even get into that. As I say, what's the most important part of your body? How do you delineate that? We come to the point in our inside, there's no personal ambition. Not that you're not ambitious, you know what I mean, as we use the term, but there's no personal agenda. There's no personal vendetta against somebody. There's no political aspirations. I'm going to see if I can be friendly to this people and do this people, and I'll be able to rise up to the top. Do you realize a thumb is always going to be a thumb? Now, I will say this. God can say, I don't want you to be a thumb. I want you to be the whole hand now. But that's God's choosing. God, is you faithful in little, he may make you ruler over much. But we've got to be faithful in little. Now, but if you're one of these parts of the body that does what you want and not what the head says, we're not being faithful in little. Well, you don't know my potential. That doesn't matter about your potential. But the thing is, are you being faithful where God has put you at the moment? Look at verse 3 in Philippians 2. It's interesting he's talking about this. All in the same context of us being striving together. Look what it says here. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. In other words, I'm not the only one here. We need everybody. Everybody's important. It says, watch, look not every man on his own things. In other words, what he has to offer, what he has done for the cause, what sacrifice he's made, etc. But every man also on the things of others. Look not every man on his own things, but on the things. Look, he said, well, you all couldn't get out. You couldn't get along without me. I learned a long time ago, God doesn't need me. But he lets me be used. I'm a shovel full of dirt that God has put a breathing, living soul in. And if this shovel full of dirt won't do his job, he'll put me back in the dirt and find another shovel full of dirt who will. But if I'm willing to be faithful to him, he'll use me. We need to appreciate what others have brought to the cause and realize that you need them so there will be no schism in the body. Look at verse 5. Let this mind, see here, he's talking about striving together, having the same mind. And here it goes all over again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of the servant, and made him in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, that's Jesus, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Jesus made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. That's the mind of Christ. And we are to be of one mind. And whose mind are we to be of? His mind, not worried about being of any reputation, not through strife and vainglory, looking on the things of others and more important than yourself. He says he humbled himself and did what he was told to do. That's one mind. Now, we read it just a minute ago. In Galatians 2, it says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want you to take your Bible now and turn to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse number 1. To a certain extent, you want to say, my ambitions, my reputation, that has all been sacrificed. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I that live, it's Christ liveth in me. And if I let Christ live in me and you let Christ live in you, we're going to have the same mind. The mind of Christ, who made himself of no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant. He humbled himself and was obedient unto death. That's the mind of Christ. I'm not here for me. I'm here for what the Lord wants me to do for him. Now, look what it says here. Well, watch me. I'll give you a statement. To have the mind of Christ, we must surrender our minds to Christ. To have the mind of Christ, we must surrender our minds to Christ. Crucified with Christ until it is Christ living in us. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, watch, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, I need to sacrifice me so that he can live through me. So that I have his mind. My mind needs to be remade, renovated. That word that renewed there means renovated. Made into a new creation in Christ. He's going to change our thinking. By the way, if you're saved and your thinking's not being changed, and you're not starting to struggle with trying to stay in the world and Lord, if you're not feeling any of that, you better go back, first of all, either go back and check your salvation. By their fruit ye shall know them. If the Lord's not working on you about those things, maybe you don't have the Lord in you. Now, if you're saved and you're doing your own thing, you're going to be miserable. Now, maybe you can put it aside and get good at it and keep putting it aside. And, you know, you get to the point where you just kind of harden your whole self to the Lord. And that can happen. I understand. But there has better been a time when you said, I want that. Now, I'm kind of lazy, not willing to move, but I want it. There ought to be a desire. There ought to be mourning over sin. He says, listen, I beseech you. I want you to want your mind renewed. What? By the Holy Spirit. This occurs in the minds of all those that present themselves as a living sacrifice. Here I am, Lord. And by the way, my wife spoke to the ladies one time and gave a message. It's no sacrifice. I'll tell you what. You give everything to God, he will give you more than you ever imagined. And he's going to give you the good stuff, but you're not going to miss out on anything that's worthwhile. Watch this. Look what it says in verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, made new, metamorphosis. From a worm to a butterfly. Transformed by the renewing, the renovation of your mind. Watch, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our lives will be a demonstration of what God's will is, what God thinks is right. Because you'll be, now listen, if that's the case, the church as a whole should have that same mentality because we have the same mind. What we should each want is what the Lord wants. The hand wants what the head wants. The foot wants what the head wants. The arm wants what the head wants. The leg wants what the head wants. The eyes want what the head wants. The ears want what the head wants. It's all in tune together because it has the same head. In order to strive together, we must be of the same mind as Christ. So we must be surrendering to the will of God consistently and constantly. We cannot say, well, today I'm going to live for the Lord and tomorrow I'm going to do what I want. I've had people, and I've heard them, and they must be over here in the nursery tonight, the Smiths, I assume they are. But anyway, they're always here. They must either they're sick, but they must be over here somewhere. But I know he's seen it in RU. Well, he said, you know, I've been doing really well. You know, I haven't had a drop to drink, you know, in eight months. So we decided to go out and celebrate. Well, it's just one. I got it squared away now. No. I haven't smoked any cigarettes in a year, so I decided, you know, I just thought I'd take one just to kind of, you know, I don't need it, but just because I enjoy it, but I, you know. If we do not think the same as those we know have presented themselves living sacrifices to God, then apparently we have not presented ourselves as living sacrifices to God. Now, you don't know for sure, I understand. But after a while, you can see, you know certain folks that you know that they walk with God. Well, maybe we need to change some things. If we think too highly of ourselves, we will not be willing to surrender to the will of God. What it said in other passages, not a vainglory. Not thinking on everybody, don't think on ourselves as some great, great gift to God. It's almost like sometimes we think, we're God's gift. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I love to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be quite a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. And sometimes we live like that. Boy, if just everybody was like me, we'd be in good shape. No. The mind of Christ is of no reputation. Humbled and obedient even unto death. Look what it says in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that's among you, every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We have certain skills. Some of you have skills that I don't have. Some of you have abilities that I don't have. But there are some things I can do. I'm not the greatest of anybody. I'm kind of a jack of all trades and a master of none. Listen, that's just the way we are. That's okay. He said, but I don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to.
But I'm the eye. I'm more important than if you don't have an eye, what are you going to do?
Well, we'll feel ourselves around. We'll listen. It'd be better if you did your job, but if we don't have an eye, we'll just live without one. If you've got an eye that's not willing to look where it's supposed to look, what good is the eye if it's not led by the head? So Christ is the head of the body. And so Christ gets to set the mindset of the rest of us. Let me say that again. Christ is the head of the body. And so Christ gets to set the mindset of the rest of us. Look at verse 4. Romans 12, 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and one, even everyone members one of another. Having then gifts or abilities differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. But there's one head leading all those things. These are all different perspectives. but all for the same purpose. Let me give you number six. When we have one mind, we care for the rest of the body rather than competing with the rest of the body. Let me say that again. When we have one mind, this is what's going to be becoming of the body of Christ. When we are one mind, we are going to care for the rest of the body rather than compete with the rest of the body. The body member that is in tune with and thus striving together with the rest of the body sincerely cares for the other members of the body. It just got finished talking about the members of the body. He's talking about we ought to think of ourselves more highly than we should. Look at verse 9. So it goes on. Let love be without dissimulation. That's insincerity. Don't have insincerity in our love. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. In other words, making others a priority over yourself, deferring to one another. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. When it says now slothful in business means, that doesn't mean we stop doing our duty and striving along beside them. Well, we're just going to care for one another, we'll prefer them, let them do it. No, that's not what he's saying. But we do our job, not slothful in what our business is, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, making the work of the Lord our priority because He's the head. You don't serve me. You serve Him. Now, I'm the under-shepherd in this little package of the Lord's body right here, and I will give an account for every idle word. I will give an account of what's done according to this part of the body of Christ. I will stand before Him in judgment for that. But if I'm not, listen, and so if I'm doing wrong, then maybe we need to take care of that. But we've got to make sure we've got the same mind, the same direction, and we're getting it from Him, from the Word of God. What's it say there? It says, watch, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. It's all going to be okay. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. What's he saying there? The body takes care of the body. Taking things in stride, doing our part in the striving together, not yelling at one another, or we're not pulling each other down, or we're not pulling. We got some folks who are pulling their own weight. He says we got to be careful. We got to care for one another. Look at verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. We're talking about the body of Christ. Persecution. What happens when somebody gets crossways with you? He says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Look at verse 16. Here we are. Be of the same mind, one toward another. If we have the same mind, look what it says. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If we're contending with one another, we're not going to be contending for the faith of the gospel. For the good of the cause, strive together and not allow personalities to get in the way. That's what he's talking about here. I'll tell you what, there are so many churches across America that spend so much more time in all the strife and vainglory and contention within the context of the body that they never get anything done for Christ. They're too busy saying, well, we ought to have this. Well, how? I think we ought to make the tower in our church 40 feet high. No, I think it ought to be 50 feet high. No, I think it ought to be 60 feet high. No, I tell you, well, I don't think we ought to have a tower at all. You know, you win folks to Christ without a tower, without a steeple. Now, I like our little steeple up there. I think it's a little bit small for this size building. I don't let anybody know it's a church. I like that.
But I'm certainly not going to fight over it.
I'll tell you what, we if we're not careful, and we'll say, well, I'm standing for truth. Well, good for you. But do we have the mind of Christ? Are we moving in the same direction? If someone wrongs you, and we're talking about the, listen, one part of the body, did you ever do something to hurt your own self? And like one part of your body hurt another part of your body, you know, or you sliced yourself or whatever it was. Poor Esther, where's Esther? She's with the kids here tonight. You know, slicing her finger there, and she's just starting to play again, and you know. But this finger didn't smack her other hand because the other hand had the knife that did it. Can you imagine walking around like that? Let me tell you about Christ. Guys, the guy's weird. He's a few fries short of a happy meal. His elevator doesn't go all the way up. When he walks into the wind, it whistles. The guy's crazy. Of course it would be. And how are we going to do the work of God if one part of the body is fighting the other part of the body? If we're not all saying we're going to do it together. First grade, kindergarten, preschool. One of the things you do is what? Hand-eye coordination. Isn't that right? That's one of the first things you teach them. Hand-eye coordination. And you want to make sure that your eye is working with your hand, your hand's working with everything else, and you can take the two hands, you can work them together and make it work. Why? Because we're all working off the same brain. We have the same purpose, the same goal. Look, watch it. It says, I'm going to go to verse 19. See, if someone wrongs you, leave it in the hands of the head of the body, Christ who judges righteously. Look at verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy, someone that seems hateful as an enemy, therefore if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Going to melt him down. Listen, the goal is to keep the body together for the sake of our call and not to prove that we're right. Look at verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So let us not allow the discord to steer us away from the cause, but strive together even when we have issues between us. That's what he's saying. If we are one mind, we will truly care for one another. Just stay where you are. 1 Peter 3 says this. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Yeah, how many times it says that? 1 Peter 3. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. What's he saying? We have to not fight amongst ourselves, but to be a blessing, and we'll get the blessing. He's called us to glory and virtue. He's got a plan for us. He's got good things in mind for us, but we're so busy fighting amongst ourselves, we won't have what he's planned to have all along. We'll get to heaven and say, where's all these rewards? You didn't earn them. You're always down there too busy fighting with each other. Those who are of one mind care not who gets the credit, but that the goal is accomplished. And the goal is to bring glory to God. Just sit tight. Romans 15:5, which is actually just a few pages away, but Romans 15:5 says this. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, all lined up with Christ, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. If we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven, that's becoming of the gospel. We're going to have to be of one mind. Let me give you number 7, almost done. We cannot wait, hang on, We cannot wait until others get on board our boat before we begin striving together. Well, if they just see it my way. I know I'm right on this thing. Listen, I need to get on the Lord's boat and stay there and strive with one mind, the mind of Christ. The assistant pastors. Now, I know I'm related to them, but I'm going to give account the Lord was done in this body of Christ. Whether they're related to me or not. And I assure you, I am more scared, more fear of God than I have the fear of them. And I'll be honest with you. I think I can very clearly say, because we've had enough conversations over the last 36 years, my wife agrees with me. When those boys are over here, they're on staff, I treat them like staff. I respect them as staff. I expect them as men called of God to serve. Administrator too. He puts more hours in here than probably almost any of us. First thing in the morning, 7 o'clock, still here at 5 o'clock most every day. These guys said, we're going to do it. I call them up. I can't tell you how many times Brandon has said, so-and-so and so-and-so, I just noticed we probably should take care of this. Do you want me to do that for you? Yes, sir. Something I forgot. Now, I'm not patting them on the back. I'm saying don't get scared because they're staff and because they're family. Because we give an account. We have to have the same mind. We need to get on the Lord's boat, all of us, and we need to be striving together with the Lord with the same mind, and that means we will happen to have, if we have the same mind of Christ, then we're going to have the same mind as one another. The deacons. Ordained, so to speak, have to have the same mind. I know churches where there's the staff and then there's the deacon board and never shall the twain meet. That is not of God. It cannot be. Because if we are all in tune with the same spirit, God is not divided. Now, we may not always agree, but we're going to agree on purpose, priority, the approach. And you know, if we have to all adjust, the point is, for the sake of the body, you know, if this part of the body is trying to get this done and you need the other hand, what's he doing? He's acquiescing to the first hand within the mind of Christ so that the two jointly can do what they need to do. You ever work on a car underneath, guys? You get down there underneath there? And after a while, you're trying to get a hold of this nut on this way, but you got to do it again. And then, I am very right-handed. I mean, I'm very right-handed. When I play piano, this hand goes boom, 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 boom. That's all it knows how to do. This might do a whole other stuff, but that's all it knows how to do. I just kind of bang octaves in the left hand because that's all it knows how to do. And every once in a while, it's like you can't reach anything except with the wrong hand. I'll tell you, it's hard. And sometimes you got to put things together and you got to work together because that we're all part of the team. The deacons have to have the same mind. But not necessarily my mind. But if my mind's in tune with the Lord, the assistant pastor's mind are in tune with the Lord, and the deacons are in tune with the Lord, we ought to be going in the same direction. And when we differ in just a little thing, my guess is we're going to make an adjustment because we have the same cause, the same goal, the same approach. We got something we need to do. We're going to make it. We're going to do the work of God. How about the school staff? We got a good school staff. I love our folks. They're faithful. They work hard. They love those kids. You don't always like them, but you love them. But they got to have the same approach. I've seen a lot of churches where you've got the church and then you've got the school. If you're not worried, not careful, there's this thing. Now, we're small, so it's pretty hard to happen. But I tell you what, if that grows, you know, I think we, you know, what if we double again this fall? We got to go ahead. What if we do that? We need more staff. You got more things going on. What do? We keep our minds on the same Lord and Savior. So it's not, we're not bugging one another. It's not the school against the church and the church against the school. What's even worse, we have to share the same rooms. Well, that's hard. You really have no, you're always a person without a country. So you do what you best you can to have space for each one and secure area and so forth. You do your best. But that doesn't mean, well, we're one body. So I know that's the school teacher's scissors, but I need them right now, so I'll bring them back next week. Because the purpose is to be able to do the job for what we're doing, and you don't do that because they've got a job to do. So you understand you're not looking just on the things of yourself, you're looking at the things of others. But on the other hand, the teacher's not saying, listen, we're in here 5 days a week, you're only in here on Sunday morning and an hour on Wednesday night. What we do here is more important, so you're just going to have to work around me. That's not it either. That's not the same mind. The Sunday school staff. I'm talking about all these people who teach Sunday school. So they got to have the same mind, the same purpose, the same direction. The folks who work with the teens. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of churches who have gone down the wrong way because the teen decided to run them in a different direction. Well, we got to do what we got to do to keep the teens in here. As long as they keep them in the church. What good is keeping them in the church if you're not giving them truth? What's good at bringing them to the church? You're going to lead them down the wrong path. We got to have the same purpose. Yeah, there's some things you do in the teen department you don't do in the other ones. There's games and things and a few things you do. But the fact is, it's not all games. It's teaching the Word of God. So the teen, it's not us against them. Well, you know, I know a preacher. There was a fella, and I'm not going to name any names, but a long time ago, when I first came here, We started with in the high 20s in October. By the next month, we were running the 30s. By the next month, we were running the 40s. By the next month, we were running the 50s. By the next month, we were running the 60s. And by March, we were running the 70s. And word got around. There's a new preacher in town. We had some, and I'm not, and please don't take us wrong, but I'll just give you the history. We had some former preachers. Now, I'm not talking about the guys that we have here. I'm not talking about Ron. I'm not talking about anything. This was a while ago. You don't know, most of you don't even know. And those you did know, you've probably forgotten. And they came down here to help this kid out, make sure he knew how to run his church. Now, they're so great, why don't they have a church? This is a good question. And one of those gentlemen, of course, you're just looking for folks to help you do the work. And you know, it's very tempting. And so I had a gentleman teaching a Sunday school class. And word got back to me, and this is what he would say. Now, I know the preacher wouldn't like this, but. And then he went on to say something. Well, I know that we stand here on the King James Bible, but. And then went on to, that causes division. We can't have that. The kids' club staff. The bus ministry. We got to be on the same page. We have to be. I don't see things exactly the way everybody else sees. And God, listen, our church is part of the body of Christ, but so is other churches part of the body of Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ. The RU staff. They have the same purpose. I know it sounds funny. The ushers. The musicians. I are one, and we're a mess. A lot of musicians, I tell you what, they got so much ego. It's amazing what ego musicians can have. There's such a fine line between praise and performance. There's a purpose behind what we do. It's not the performance. The maintenance staff, got to have one purpose. The nursery staff, the welcome desk staff, you name it. If any of us decide not to strive together with the rest, it will hinder and hamper the faith of the gospel. To not be going in the same direction means we are either standing still and blocking progress, or we're going in a different direction, which will cause clashes and conflict and inhibit the progress of God's work. There still may be much going on, but I hate to treat to it, but not as much progress as we should be having. I believe God wants our church to make a major impact on our community for the faith of the gospel. I know we're just Little Lighthouse Baptist Church out here in Dover, but I think he wants us to make a major impact. And if we're going to do that, we are going to have the same mind, and not just any mind, or whosoever mind happens to be dominant at the time. We must all have the mind of Christ. And my question is simply this: will you determine to have the mind of Christ? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is a reasonable service, that you may prove was a good and perfect, that's not all of it, will of God. How? Because I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Will you determine to have the mind of Christ? Doesn't mean you're going to do what I do or what somebody else does. It means you're going to do what your part of the body is supposed to do. That's all it means. Father, again, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening. Thank you for all these folks and their patience and their love for you. And Lord, it's just a matter of all the mind, all the body getting together and being part of the process. To have your mind. And there's a lot of folks in this room already. In fact, most of the folks in this room already are striving together. But the fact is, we can all probably be more in tune with you. And if we're more in tune with you, we'll be more in tune with each other. Speak to the hearts of our people. Or give us your vision, your understanding, your power to do the work you've called us to do. We ask in the name of our Savior. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the standard of